When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you weren't worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. Breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he's a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire. Cause fear, he is a liar. When he told you you were troubled, you'd forever be alone. When he told you you should run away, you'll never find a home. When he told you you were dirty and that you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one that grace would never change. Take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he's a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire. Cause you, he is a liar. Cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, in love is all I fear. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, in love is all I fear. He is a liar.
Our sermon hymn this morning is number 357, Jesus Loves Even Me. If you are able, would you please rise and sing with me?
Thank you. little bit of a caveat this morning. If this is the only sermon you ever hear from Eric Christman, I could be in trouble. But over the course of ministry, hopefully I have demonstrated that I do know the scriptures and can preach upon them. This morning, I'm not necessarily going to draw too much on the scripture themselves, but do some more application and then hopefully wrap it back to the scriptures at the end. During the season of Lent, we are going through a series based on the Essential Bible Guide, which St. John's used several years ago as a two-book study of the essential facts and stories of the Bible. And the chapter that I'm pulling from that book is about the teachings of Jesus. And so last Sunday and this Sunday, we have drawn upon the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus uses many different methods to teach. He also uses his life application to instruct us on how to live. Today's sermon title is The Audience of One. Jesus, in his teachings, Jesus, in his life, was focused on the audience of one, his heavenly Father. It wasn't about what Jesus himself desired or what he wanted. It was about the will of God. So the audience of one. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience last week in Biloxi, Mississippi. More, I'm going to be talking about our trip home from Biloxi, Mississippi. There were some people at 8 o'clock service that thought I did pretty well, but I'm no guarantee that I'm saying the same thing because it's only an outline form, and we'll see how it goes. God, God's providence, God preparing us all along. About 2 weeks before we went to Biloxi, Mississippi, on a Friday afternoon, I got a call from someone in the church, and they had plumbing problems at their house, and they were hoping I could give them some suggestions of some plumbers to call. And of course, I hung up the phone, and I went to their house. And they had a problem with their toilet was leaking on the floor. And I temporarily fixed it. And then I said, I'd get back to you and I do some research. And I bought a new repair toilet flange. And the following Friday or Saturday, I installed that and everything in their home toilet-wise is good. Eric, why are you telling us that? During the week, we were working on Miss Jessie's home. That home had been in existence since her grandfather had built it. It survived Hurricane Camille. It survived Hurricane Katrina and all of the storms of this last fall. It survived, but it needed some great care. And somehow Jesse heard of Back Bay Mission, and Back Bay Mission sent out their new work camp associate and checked out the roof needed replacing, the siding needed replacing, and they did video with the director of the work camp program, and he said, we're going to do the whole thing. So it has a new roof, has a new new siding. Previous groups, we showed up because it was supposed to be a week of rain. They gave us an inside project, and it was perfect for the 12 people in our group. Didn't really test our abilities. We knew how to paint. We knew how to rip up bad flooring. We knew how to change paneling. We thought we knew how to fix the toilet, fix some plumbing issues. And so we spent our week fixing up her home. I thought we'd be done by Wednesday evening and we'd be on to the next project. We finally finished Miss Jessie's work at about 10 a.m. on Friday. So we were there all week long. I'll come back to the toilet in a moment if I don't forget. Week was good. Shared the mission house with two other groups. Good food, good fellowship. We were working, 7:30 in the morning till 5 or 6 at evening. Had great time. Tuesday evening, we ran out of some supplies for whatever we were going to eat that night or the next morning. So we, four of us, drove the church bus over to the small local grocery store. We go in, we find the four or five items we need. We're at the checkout line, and there's a gentleman that walks from the parking lot into the store and asks one of the cashiers, who's the driver of that bus? I said, oh no, I hit someone's car in the parking lot and didn't know it. The three others went with that person outside. It turns out that he and his wife saw our bus, saw it say St. John's Christian Church, and they had six bags of groceries that they wanted to donate, but they didn't know how. And so he saw the bus came in, who's the driver, those three. As I came out after paying for the groceries, they were carrying those bags of grocery into the bus. They asked for the gentleman's name. Oh, that doesn't matter. He got back in his vehicle, and he backed up and drove around and stopped. He got back out of his vehicle. I rolled down the bus window, and he gave me $100. Use this as you see fit. All because it said church on the side of our bus. We've often had moments like that on these trips. If you've been able to read the visitor, you would see in there that that was the 41st and last mission trip I would lead to Biloxi, Mississippi. I wavered on that on Friday morning. I got a text from my brother. He hasn't been on any experience like that with me since before I was married. We did some stuff at camp together, and he wants to go on a mission trip. I guess I'm going to have to do another one. I got my answer later that night. We normally work until noon on Friday. We go back, we clean up, we pack, and we head home. We started early. We left the mission house at 7. We got all the final painting done by 10 a.m. Oh, that toilet thing. The toilet in Jesse's home had rotted out the floor from leakage. Some others replaced the wood, and for some reason it fell to me to put the new the toilet back on. Then I discovered why it was leaking. You have to know a lot about toilet flanges. The toilet flange needed to be turned 1 inch. Without it being turned 1 inch, the toilet bolts that hold the toilet to the floor were in the wrong position. So when you tried to tighten those bolts, it didn't tighten down. Thus, the person that installed the toilet last time just used screws to drive it into the wood. And those screws weren't sturdy enough, and so it leaked over time. Now, you can't turn the flange that's there because it's glued together plastic. Aha, go back 3 weeks to that home that you helped, and I now have the magic solution. You go to Lowe's, and they have a specific metal ring to fix that problem. I didn't know that before 3 weeks ago. God was preparing me to fix Jesse's toilet even when I didn't know. Now, many people can scoff at that. But in my faith, I have learned over and over, God prepares us. So we're done at 10 a.m. We say our goodbyes, and we go back to the mission house. We pack up, and we have a closing prayer with the executive director, and off we go. First time in 41 trips that I have made reservations for where we were going to stay Friday night. Never made those reservations before. We see what time we get out, and then a couple of the ladies always got on their phone and made reservations as we got closer. This time, I had made reservations. We had to get to Franklin, Kentucky by the end of the day. It was supposed to be 8 hours of driving time. Throw in an hour or so of stops, we'd be there 9 or 10 o'clock. We get about an hour and a half, 2 hours out of Biloxi, and I'm driving, and we blow a tire. The back axle of the bus is a dual, so it has two tires on each side. We blew the inside tire on the driver's side of the bus. You hear it, you immediately pull over, and you park. You get out, what happened? I'm not going to give you all the details. You got to catch up with that later. We are at the edge of an on-ramp. People got on their phone, checked out where we could go. We could go 9 miles, 10 miles in front. I said, no, well, someone wiser than I, because I follow the law, said we're going to back up and go down that on-ramp, which is against the law. But three of the men got out of the bus, and they were walking to make sure the one car that came on the ramp when we were backing down didn't run into the back of us or us into the front of them. So we back down, and there are no services at this exit. No gas station, no grocery store, nothing. But there's a business over here that I don't even really know what the business was. Had a big warehouse, and the door was open. Warren Souter got out, went in to try and find someone in the office. And as he was coming out, we saw a man coming from one of the trucks over. There is a huge lake in their parking lot called a puddle. The guy was coming this way, and Warren circled around to miss the puddle back to the bus. And he said, they told us to go to this business and pointed in that direction. So we get back in the bus. We're going 10 to 15 miles an hour so that that single tire left on that side does not blow. And we're going down the road, and we make it, 2 miles. And all of a sudden, we're on a double lane road, and a blue pickup truck pulls along the side of us in emotions. And it's this man from the parking lot of that warehouse. And he said, you need some help. I said, yes. He goes, follow me. And he took us, and we parked in a church parking lot a little way down the road. His name was Carlos. Carlos, after we left, had gone into the office. What did they need? Well, they have a blown tire. You just sent them on their way? We need to do more than that. Now, he tracked us down because they knew where they had sent us, and he found us, and he wasn't just there to make sure we were okay. He made a phone call, and it could be an hour and a half to 2 hour wait till somebody could come and repair it. And that wasn't good enough for Carlos. He remembered something, so he took Warren and Steve in his truck, and it's always good as a group leader to see two people go off with a total stranger. 5-10 minutes later, they came back, and Carlos had remembered a place down the road, so, and they would fix it. They did, you know, they would take care of us. So we hop back in the bus. We're limping along 50 miles an hour, cross over the divided highway. We get there to, quote, a hole-in-the-wall kind of semi-truck repair shop. Fortunately, it was one of those sunny, dry days because everything was done outside. We pulled up, got out. They agreed to change the tire. Don, one of my good friends and farmer and mechanic kind of guy, goes, you better see if they have another spare tire we can take. Because we have learned from previous trips, we carry a spare for that tire. So we pulled the spare out. They took off the old one. They struggled. The rim, the aluminum rim on that is not easy to get off. But we just stood there for an hour or so and watched them work. Carlos stayed almost the entire time, making sure we were going to be okay. He pointed out on the other side of their shop building was a white semi-tractor. That was Carlos's pastor's logging semi-truck. So Carlos's pastor has his work done at this little place. I was feeling much better. It must be legit. But I also got the thought, man, I can get a sideline job. I can buy a semi and get in the logging business. I don't think that would fly, and I'm not even asking. We buy a new tire. They have a brand new tire, so we get a spare, and they charge us $50 for their work on a Friday afternoon. Total strangers. And when I went to pay, I was short $5. I said, let me go. No, no. Are you good with? I said, are you good? Yeah. So I didn't even pay. I only paid $45 plus the cost of the spare tire. We walk out. We say goodbye. Other people in the group, they gave them an extra bonus. And we're on our way. Away we go. 2.5-3 hours late. We get back to where we had blown the tire, and we go another mile. I'm still driving. And if you've not been in southern Mississippi, there's a lot of swamp. And there's this 7-9 mile raised road on stilts that leads to this great bridge. We had blown the tire before we got on that. We would just have to continue to limp along, and the berm wasn't as wide on the bridge as it was where we had stopped. So we drive another hour, hour and a half. I really don't know. I'm driving, and I hear a pop. We pull over. The inside tire on the other side had just blown. Ryan got on his phone, or no, Amy did, because she made the call. 6 miles ahead is a semi-truck repair shop. And she said, well, we're in a church bus. Well, because you're a church bus, we'll stay open. It's 4:30. They're ready to close, go home on a Friday. They're going to stay open. So 15 miles an hour, I'm driving on the berm of the road, trying to stay off that rumble strip that makes all the noise, and yet stay on. It was very tense. We got the 6 miles. We pull in the back. We pull into their shop, and they struggle with getting the aluminum rim off. And they're a little bit more crusty than the first two guys that worked on it. The first two guys were pretty smiley, interacting. We were outside. We were all standing around watching. These two were a little bit more crusty, and they weren't necessarily having any fun with the process. While that's happening, I walk outside to try and make a phone call to the third party where I booked our rooms to try and cancel those rooms. After 25 minutes on the phone, he checked in with me. Still there? Yep. I mean, he got to the manager of the motel we were at. Well, I can't make that decision. It has to be the supervisor. So the end of that call was, we will send you emails tomorrow as to whether it was canceled or not. I said, okay, whatever it's going to cost, we're just going to take care of the group. I go back. The place that they do semi-repair. Not church bus. Their jack wasn't small enough to fit underneath their axle. So they had Warren back the bus up onto a 4x4, so it was up off the ground so they could jack it up and change it. It took a while. We're outside. Amy started playing some group game with us. We talked about the trip. Got done. We're ready to go. One guy comes out, said, I need to talk to who? I just want to talk to one. And he did not want to put the hubcap back on, so it's in the back of the bus, saved in that time. I said, so what do we owe you? And let me talk. And went over to the lead guy, I guess, and pay it forward, no charge. Friday afternoon, after hours, an hour to an hour and a half of work. Just go. Carlos helped us. And when we tried to thank him and give him an expression, you know, he goes, no, I do these kind of things because I know sometime down the road, I'm going to be in your position and someone's going to come through and help me. That's how God works. We're 3.5 to 5 hours behind. There's no way we're making Franklin, Kentucky. We get to northern Alabama, Coleman, Alabama. The first hotel is totally booked. Because they have a bass fishing tournament going on yesterday. There are 14 bass boats in the parking lots that we see, and they're all plugged in because it's so cold. It was 22 degrees yesterday morning in Coleman, Alabama, with snow on the ground. And we found 3 rooms, so there were 4 or 5 people to each room, and it all worked out. The aspect of all of those things working together. Jim Greaser this morning had been reflecting on the timing. If we had worked normally till noon and then left, there would have been no Carlos. There would have been no 2 other people at that shop that we don't have the names for. They would have already been home. We left early enough that we didn't get on that bridge when the tire blew. Now, why did God not stop those tires from blowing? It's a 1,000-mile trip down there. There's some of the worst potholed roads I've ever seen. And just the wear and tear, we check them out before we go. We got down there, drove all week, no problem, and something happened. But as we look at what someone called God's winks or God's moments, it all lines up as to how God takes care of us. God takes care of us. I wish I could say that's the end of the story. Everything went fine. We got to the hotel. We woke up. We drove on icy roads for about an hour. And then there was sunshine and the snow was melting and we were breezing through. And then there was another pop. I have no idea what that pop was because Ryan was in the back. Suddenly he noticed there are 6 emergency window exits in the bus, and one of them was no longer there. A semi had gone by, is all we know, and that window, through all the rattling, it was gone. Nobody was sitting there. It was just for luggage. We don't know if we lost anybody's luggage yet or not. We have no clue where the window went. We're hoping it hit the semi and just, we don't know. Because as the time, you know, you can't go back. So we stopped at another place, got some cardboard and a roll of, what is it? Duct tape. Two rolls of Gorilla duct tape, and we sealed that all up and we made it back home. We were about 5 hours behind the normal, and you just sit there and you reflect. God, what are you doing? Tried to cancel those rooms. I did get emails this morning. Rooms are canceled. We didn't have to pay that $450 or whatever it was. When you look at the Sermon on the Mount here in chapter 6 and 7, the phrase treasures in heaven, not treasures of the world, treasures in heaven. That couple that we have no clue that dropped off 6 bags of groceries and gave us $100 for our trip, immeasurable blessings because that $100 covered one half of the spare tire. If we had not purchased that spare tire from the first place, the place we were at to had no such tire. But because Don said, you better buy a spare tire, we had it in hand. The wisdom of the group, treasures in heaven. That anonymous couple wanted to be a blessing. Back Bay Mission wants to be a blessing to many. Carlos wanted to be a blessing. That grumbly man, that crusty man, he just wanted to be a blessing and say, pay it forward. That is building up treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. Do not worry. Have you seen gas prices lately? I budgeted $800 for our round trip. We had spent almost $800 by Wednesday. On our trip. I have no idea how much gas bill is going to be, plus the rooms, plus the tires, plus do not worry. I don't like driving a bus with 11 people behind me because I'm driving and I'm thinking they're just watching everything I do. They know when I veer a little bit. They know when I get this. You know, fortunately, most of them were sleeping, but I'm worrying the whole time. And that's why the sunset last night shining through the rear window of the bus is, Eric, you've made it. You're almost home. It's okay. I thought Nancy's illustration of the weights on that egg, we can handle so much, and then God, you know, wakes us up. Do not worry. Everything worked out. We got home safely. But the greatest lesson I learned is do not judge. Do not judge. Learn that over and over in the terms of poverty and homelessness through Biloxi. And that's why we're so involved in some ways with Friendship House and the ministries around here. We've learned and through these trips and different people that people are just in circumstances and we cannot judge them. Carlos, African-American man. We can read a lot about racism. In our experiences with the staff and the people we have helped with Biloxi in Back Bay Mission, and Carlos is another tremendous example. It didn't matter the color of our skin. He just wanted to be helpful. And we were shaking his hand. Some were hugging him. We talked for a while. We were human beings. We were believers. We did not have to worry about judgment. Those crusty men that helped the second tire, pay it forward. They got it done. Don't go by what they were saying. Just, you know, do not judge. The aspect of how can homeowners let their homes go so far down? Poverty, little by little. You can't fix that toilet. You don't know what it's going to be. You can't fix the faucet. You don't know what it's going to be. One shingle missing, you don't have the money, you don't get, you know, and it builds from there. Back Bay Mission offers hope to countless individuals. One of the highlights, a brief highlight of my trip, was I was at Temple Hills Church Camp prior to coming back to St. John's, and the manager of the camp was a guy named Ed Cargis. And he had been the manager, he was my supervisor for 4 years, and then he resigned and he returned to the Van Wert area. I haven't seen Ed Cargis in now 29 years. Ed and his good friend Kevin Garris, who I used to know very well, were at Back Bay Mission for the last 5 weeks. And we got to shake hands, hug, and say hi. And then because they are work-oriented and I am work-oriented, we went to our separate things. They did their but we actually got to reconnect a little bit. And my two friends got to talk to them, and we got updated a little bit. The aspect of do not judge speaks volumes to us when we don't know somebody else's life. There is much more I can share on some of the things that we experienced this week, but I've already gone over. Treasures in heaven, do not worry, do not judge. The audience of one, give all praise and glory to God. Do not seek to serve your own nature, but give all praise and glory to God. And there will be at least 12 people that whenever we hear the name Carlos, we will think of one individual and we will give praise to God. And I pray that, or I trust you've had those experiences. And if not, I pray that you will. And I pray that each one of us can offer those kind of experiences to others as we serve the light of the world. Amen.
Watch out for those God winks. Don't miss them. Let us give to the work of the Lord. I invite the ushers forward. Pray. Gracious God, your love has been with the world since it began. In gratitude, we bring these gifts to you now. Use them and us so that others may come to know of your great generosity and endless love. Amen.
Our closing hymn is number 359, Jesus is Lord of... Jesus is Lord of all. Following this spoken benediction, we will sing verse 4 of number 371, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.